Support for Interlochen Public Radio is provided by you and by Comfort Keepers. For over 20 years, Comfort Keepers have been providing in-home care services and keeping seniors living independently in the comfort of their own home. Learn more at ComfortKeepers.com.
It's the Up North Lowdown from Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Ed Ronco. Why, oh, why would people go to a bar, sit down, grab a pen and a piece of paper, and copy word for word in longhand the United States Constitution? We'll find out. Austin Rohlater has that story for us a little later in the episode. We're going to begin today, though, by checking some local headlines. There are a handful of local elections tomorrow. In Antrim County, voters will decide on a 3-year millage for the Jordan Valley EMS Authority. Voters in the Charlevoix-Emmett Intermediate School District are also being asked about a millage increase. And there are local questions in Benzie, Kalkaska, and Leelanau counties, all dealing with millage adjustments or additions. The Grand Traverse Bay YMCA's south location off of South Airport Road took significant water damage in the April floods. Still, the president and CEO of the organization tells the ticker that he feels lucky it was not worse. Andy Page says things should be back up and running by mid-June, which is in time for youth summer camp. He says the facility took a lot of damage to squash and racquetball courts, which sit in the lowest part of the building. A remediation team is already at work. After mass flooding damaged so much more infrastructure around the region, lawmakers are seeking to pass a bill that's been inspired by the 2020 Edenville dam break. At a House committee hearing last week, Republican Representative Bill Schuette answered questions about his bill that aims to bolster dam regulations, create more state funding for dam repairs, and adapt designs to withstand climate change. Schuette says any added costs would be the responsibility of the dam owner.
If you cannot maintain the resources to operate or own a high-hazard dam, you should not be operating a high-hazard dam. If you're not able to keep the people downstream safe and you don't have the resources to do that, it shouldn't, that you're jeopardizing the lives and livelihoods of thousands.
Other lawmakers expressed concern that costs will fall on landowners if the dam owners fall short. State officials say funding repairs could be a collaborative effort between communities, state government, and dam owners. Agriculture and environmental advocates say the U.S. Senate should oppose the U.S. Farm Bill, which passed in the House last week. WCMU's Emma George Griffin has that story.
The bill would sustain major cuts to food stamp programs and approve another $60 billion in farm subsidies. Michigan agriculture and environmental officials criticized the bill during a press conference. Bob Thompson is the president of Michigan's Farmers Union. He says he'd rather have no farm bill at all than a, quote, bad one.
And the bill that is being proposed largely continues existing farm safety net programs that really do not match the scale of the current economic crisis that family farmers are facing.
Thompson says legislators should prioritize lowering input costs and expanding domestic markets for farmers. Only 14 Democrats voted for the bill in the House. It's now headed to the Senate for approval. I'm Emma George Griffin.
How well do you know the U.S. Constitution? I would give myself, if I'm being honest here, a B, B plus maybe. I have a copy in my office. I reference it sometimes. And of course, we do come into contact with the Constitution in this line of work. But I really can't sit here and tell you that I know every word, right? People in Bel Air might be able to tell you every word, though, because they recently gathered at a bar to get to know our nation's founding document a little better by copying it onto paper, like in longhand, with pens. IPR's Austin Rohlater was there.
It's about noon on a Saturday, sunny. The Be Well Mead and Cider House in downtown Bel Air is buzzing, but the bar is covered in papers, neatly lined up one after the other. Down here at one end is the preamble. We, the people of the United States. Yeah, you know that part. But as I walk down the bar, I get to people who are, quote unquote, in the weeds. You know, what does this thing actually say?
Oh, right here. I thought this was interesting because I am of American Indian descent.
Margaret Spann is working on Section 2 of the 14th Amendment.
So it says that representatives should be apportioned among the several states according to their respective numbers, okay, counting the whole number of persons in each state, excluding Indians not taxed. So if you were an Indian, American Indian, and you were taxed, they would count you in regard to the representatives that they're the Senate and the Congress.
Wow.
If you weren't taxed, you weren't counted.
Down a little further, Tom Brown is up to his elbows in the 25th Amendment.
Well, 25th is pretty pertinent because in spite of the president can't fulfill his duties, he's replaced by the VP. So it's pretty timely, huh?
Then there's Perry Flogger, who's wrestling with Section 4 of the 14th Amendment.
They actually wrote in early on that there would be no payments allowed for loss of emancipation of any slave. But, you know, those things that people have tried to collect on in recent years or previous years, according to this, it's not allowed.
You'd think there'd be these big philosophical questions coming up about America and our place in the world, and there are, but also some small things, like why is the grammar so bad? Why is every sentence a run-on sentence? Why are random words capitalized? Then I ran into Sansare. She's 16, and her sister Rowan, who's 12, they're sitting at a table. Sansare's working on the 12th Amendment.
I messed up 3 times.
Her sister Rowan, Section 3 of the 20th Amendment. And Rowan was already finished, but when I asked her what it was about, she said,
something about, like, wait, hold up.
I asked them how they think we're doing, you know, as a country, trying to follow the Constitution.
Based on, like, rumors and things I've heard from, like, TikTok or Facebook, not very well. What about you?
There's probably maybe some things that the government could do better and some things that they're good at. Like, there's definitely, like, other people's, like, opinions, like, matter, and sometimes I think maybe the government might not really put that into consideration, so.
Bartender Gabrielle Coppersmith was in the process of taking each page and taping it up on the wall so everyone could read them.
It brings about a great conversation, too. Like, that's what I think I am enjoying about this event, is it's a conversation piece, you know? Creating open and safe spaces for people to talk about these kinds of things and understand it a little bit more. Because who honestly took the time to read the whole Constitution? Like, when's the last time we even talked about the Constitution? Probably in school, honestly.
I'd say it pops up, I think, you know, more now than ever because of it's being tested.
That's Tom Brown, who's copying the 25th.
Oddball punctuation and capitals just tossed in, but other than that, I know the portion I read is very powerful.
The pages of the Constitution were up on the wall for a few days for all to see, consider, and maybe even talk about over a glass of mead. For Interlochen Public Radio, I'm Austin Rolater.
You can still see the entire handwritten Constitution. It is no longer on the wall, but we have photos on our website, iprnews.org. And that's the Up North Lowdown for Monday, May 4th.